starting the presentation. Okay.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is co-chair Glenn McKnight and Judith Hellerstein. We have remotely on call Dev. We are going to proceed with our call today. We have a lengthy slideshow and we have an agenda set as well. So, Dev, I would like to turn it to you to give the overview.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And this is Devanansa Lakshmi. I'm the chair of the Technology Task Force for this session. And Judith and Glenn are co-chairs of the Technology Task Force. So while they're in the room here in Singapore, I'm sure they'll be able to see anybody who raises their card for and answer questions. So let's begin with our presentation. We have four items on our agenda. Next slide, please. Okay, the introduction to the Large Technology Task Force. Two, we're going to be looking at the implementation from the At-Large Summit 2 recommendations that were allocated to the Technology Task Force. Three, we're going to review web conferencing tools for use by ICANN and At-Large. And then four, we're looking to get some community feedback. What should the Technology Task Force be looking at? Next slide. Okay, so let's introduce the Technology Task Force. Next slide. So the Technology Task Force came out of the recommendations from the At-Large Improvement in June 2012. In particular, the recommendations from the Improvements Project said that there need to be a Technology Task Force to introduce to At-Large structures selected information, dissemination, communication, and collaboration tools, and provide training, and to also review communication and collaboration needs considered unmet by At-Large structures and the VLOs by evaluating technologies either currently in use by At-Large or elsewhere in ICANN, and to identify and review other technologies as they become available. Next slide. So just as a look at a review of all the Technology Task Force members, as I note again, I'm the chair of the Technology Task Force since its inception, but since after the Los Angeles meeting, Glenn McKnight and Judith Hellerstein are co-chairs. We have a diverse membership, albeit we do need some more persons from the European region. We'll get to that in part four. Next slide. Okay, and just to summarize what the Technology Task Force. So who can be in the Technology Task Force? It consists of members from the At-Large community, and we welcome anyone from the At-Large community to join us. We have conference calls at least once a month, sometimes two meetings a month. And there are two links there, which we have a workspace where we document our activities and also our main page on the At-Large Wiki. Just to also mention that, one of the things that I think people think of when they hear technology is that they have to be some super guru technology whiz, and that's not the case. Once you have an interest in testing technology and giving feedback, that's extremely valuable, and it's what we absolutely need to help out large. Next slide.
Excuse me, Dev. It's Glenn. Okay. Somebody joined us on Adigo. I just wonder who that is.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Dev, I was just going to ask, somebody has joined us on Adigo, if they can identify themselves. Oh, maybe
they
somebody
may have dropped out.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was about to actually turn it over to either you. This is Dave again. So with Bernardo given an introduction of the Technology Task Force, we're looking at is the report of the implementation of the At-Large Summit 2 recommendations. So either Glenn or Judith, which one of you is willing to?
This is Judith Hellerstein. I will take up now. We're talking about Now, the Atlas II recommendations that were assigned either to the Technology Task Force alone or to the Technology Task Force in combination with the accessibility, the outreach, or the social media teams. Next slide. So as you see here, and the complete list of all the recommendations can be found at this link. Next slide. And some of these recommendations, as I mentioned, were allocated to the different groups. And so as you can see by the link, that is. So next slide. So we're going to focus on a couple of the main recommendations that were assigned to us, which is, right now we're going to be talking about recommendation 10 and 11, which are very similar in some ways because they both deal, one was deal with language and services, and the other deal is how we can increase outreach and accessibility to different users and how we can make sure we get cultural and diverse and gender diversity. So these next few slides that we're going to be discussing are going to be on that. On recommendation 10, you can read what the recommendation was, and what we've done is we evaluated two different Adobe Connect plugins for live captioning, one from Adobe Connect and the other one that was produced by Caption First, and we did them at two different calls. One was the Joint Accessibility with Technology Task Force meeting, and then the other one was also at an accessibility one earlier this month. Last month's, next slide, please. And this is a sample of, we decided that to choose that the Caption First one was a much better layout. And this slide shows you the difference of the two layouts of Adobe Connect's one, where they break up the sentence because it's word by word, and the Caption First, and the different abilities that the Caption First slide has on them. So it was decided that this layout is much better. So that's what, next slide, please. So also in recommendation 10, they talk about different language services. So at large, we do interpretation in English, Spanish, and French, and Russian. It is possible to get captioning within both English, Spanish, and French. We probably could get it in other languages if we investigate other points, but it's also available for those, and it's interpretation and captioning. Our goal would be to be done on a request by people who are requesting the different language services. So if they're requesting Spanish interpretation, we may have a request for Spanish captioning. Likewise, French and other similarly. Besides the ability of the of it being accessible, the captioning also provides help for a lot of our members who are in bandwidth challenged countries, where the bandwidth is very limited and they cannot engage or participate as well on Adobe Connect. And so this would allow them to engage more and participate more in monthly meetings and in other working group meetings, as well as where English is not the native language, and say the captioning is only done in English, they can easily better engage with the meeting while seeing the captions in a written language. Next slide, please. So as I talked about, 11 is very similar in the sense that it also works on trying to make services access across various criteria, whether it's gender, cultural diversity, user needs. And so some of those issues that I was talking about in 10 are also related to 11. And this is a summary of what we've done working on 11. There are some issues with the mobile version of Adobe, but that is should be maybe corrected in the next few months as Adobe more integrates work on HTML5. We've been in discussions with the WC3 task force who have been working on that. And so we're very hopeful that in the next few months that also be worked out. So if we go forward, then this could be work on all platforms that we have. Since we do not offer the services, we don't have a take-up of the services. So we're hoping that once they get offered, that we'll have more of awareness and more of a take-up of this as it becomes more. In that line, we are also putting in a special budget request to conduct a pilot to live caption either RALO meetings, ALAC meetings, working groups, or even webinars. Next slide, please. Along with live streaming, we've also looked at video captioning of movies, and as this is also related to Recommendation 11. And in this vein, we took a look at, on one of our calls, two examples. One was a tool called Captions to Caption, which is an open source tool for captioning videos. This is an excellent tool we found. This tool is mostly useful for people who actually own their own videos. It's not as well used for people who don't, where they want to capture someone else's video. In which case, we've looked at another tool called Amara, which allows anyone to make subtitles on any film, whether they own it or not. And so this, you could either put subtitles in many different languages. And the vocalization and... And Glenn will take a... Since Glenn was instrumental in this area, he'll say a brief word on this.
Since I've been instructed to a brief comment, Craptions the Captions was developed by an Australian chap who is seriously deaf. It's a fantastic product. What's interesting about Ken, he has an interesting blog that you can follow. He makes a really important point. If you rely on the captioning from YouTube, you'll find it extremely poor. So he makes a very easy process of actually converting it, as he says, craptions to captions. Now, Amara, on the other hand, with the W, one of the W's are missing there, is that it has a cloud collaborative crowdsourcing capability. Very interesting model. A little more difficult to queue up and do it. You have to be a little bit more careful. But this is consistent to what Judith has been doing with captioning with the web conferencing tools. Okay.
Thank you, Glenn, for that. There's a lot of... the Amara tool is used by a lot of different internet societies who find a very easy and very easy way of translating different tools. Next slide, please. The task force has also looked at different translation tools, such as Skype or Google Translate, and there's a bunch of new tools that are coming out all the time. And so we've looked at a couple of tools, and the task force is also working with the IT staff to have a new version of machine translation tools for the LACRADL meetings and mailing lists. And that has been a very big and strong demand within LACRADL that we've been looking at. Next slide, please.
This is Dave?
Yes.
Yes.
This is Dave?
Yes, Dave.
Just
go ahead.
Thanks. So this is Dave. Just to talk about this issue of the LACRADL machine list translation, because I am from the LACRADL region, and the issue of the LACRADL mailing list translation has been a source of our discomfort. Just before the Singapore meeting, I had a conference call with Sylvia Vivanco from at-large staff and Josh from IT staff to go over the issues related to the new version, which is an improvement, but there still seem to be some technical glitches worked out. I'll be looking to have a special purpose call to look at the detailed issues. You can go to that link and read a good summary of the history and the issues and some of the bug reports that's been filed. But we are looking to try to deploy this new translation engine before the next ICANN meeting, which will be in Argentina. Okay, that's it. And back to Judith.
Thank you so much. Glenn is going to talk a little bit about these next few recommendations.
Thank you, Judith. I'll do this slide, and Deb will carry on after. As you notice here in this recommendation, it was allocated to two groups, which Deb is deeply involved with as well. So the large part of this information is coming from Deb. As it states, the ICANN needs to be sensitive to the fact that social media is blocked in certain countries and in conjunction with technical bodies promote credible alternatives. This has been consistent to our sessions that we've been trying to promote on alternative DNS and tour sessions here at ICANN. We didn't have one at this time, but we indicate here some of the things that we can do, and perhaps it's something we could look at in the new year sessions. We can probably do a webinar on this topic. Very interesting tools we did for group chat, including Slack, HipChat, and Hall. And any suggestions from the community on other tools for our sessions would be welcome. Back to you, Deb.
Thank you. This is David Ann speaking. I see Murray has a hand raised. Murray, you want to make a quick observation on this yeah. slide?
Yes, thank you, Deb. It's Murray speaking for the record. I just wanted to get in briefly. I put some chat in about social media, but translation, I came across, I don't know how we'd integrate it, but a really interesting mobile app where you hover your phone over Chinese characters and it Mandarin characters, and it changes it to English. So it's reading pictures and making a translation on a mobile device. I don't know how you'd integrate it into the system, but just want to let you know that it exists, and I've used it really handy when I'm in China. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Murray. This is David Ann again. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is recommendation 26, and it's quite a lengthy recommendation. It speaks to that, it says that, you know, the current policy management processes within ICANN are insufficient, and ICANN needs to implement a workable policy management process system that's available for use across the ACs and SOs. I'll read it for the record. In order to enhance knowledge management, improve the effectiveness of all ICANN volunteer communities, improve cross-community policy-specific activities, enhance policy development metrics, facilitate multilingual engagement, create a taxonomy of policy categories, and provide policy development history as an aid for newcomers. And this is allocated to three working groups: this Working Group Technology Task Force, Social Media Working Group, and a Capacity Building Working Group. So the next slide, please. So what I wanted to talk you to think about is, like, what exactly do you want in a policy management process system? And I thought I would just highlight a few suggestions what we want in a policy management process system. We want to be able to quickly find historical information on a policy issue. When we want to search for who is, you can get a report of all the who is activity that's happened in ICANN within a particular time frame. And also see the submissions made by a particular AC, SOs on those policy issues. So the system needs to have that policy history stored in a manner to allow for such queries. So the second thing is that we want to be able to subscribe to policy updates or notification by interest. One common concern is that we are inundated with emails and notifications about every single policy issue. A person who has a keen interest in only a very specific areas, for example, IDNs, they should only be able to subscribe to receive updates on that specific policy issues that is of interest to them. So this is where taxonomy needs to come in. And also a system that could track parties in the interaction. If a person commented on a particular policy issue in the past, whenever a new related policy issue comes out for comment, they could be notified automatically without you having to manually subscribe to each policy as it comes out. Another thing issue we want is to track deadlines for responding to policy comments. Because there are multiple comment periods happening simultaneously at different stages, one is the first draft has been posted, a statement is being voted on, a first call for comments, etc. You know, the system should be able to update the calendar in order for the ACO SO to track and manage deadlines. Next slide. Okay, and what we're also looking for is the ability to read policy issues and updates in your language. Persons should be able to subscribe to notifications when policies are available in their language to review, and also be able to see the announcements in their own language. Having the policy review process more accessible to mobile users, with more and more persons using mobile devices, you know, phones and tablets, the policy review process needs to be made more accessible to such users for them to engage in the policy process. The sixth item, by the way, I put the ordered list, it really wasn't a priority list. It was just for us to be able to reference. These suggestions are presented in no particular order. Six, to reduce the manual duplication to disseminate information. A lot of effort is expended by the ACs and SOs, support staff, to manually copy and paste text in order to disseminate policy information to the various communities and to the wider public. That wiki pages being created, emails being drafted and sent, the various lists, and to share it on social media. The system should offer sharing mechanisms so that, you know, persons wanting to get the word out can do so more easily, rather than trying for persons to manually try to cut and paste and to send it out. What do you all want in a policy management process system? These are just some of the things we are thinking of. So obviously, I'm looking forward to hearing your input in that. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so this is what some of the other things we are doing regarding Recommendation 26. The at-large website redesign is underway. And part of the website redesign helps to try to provide a policy background on policy issues, as well as to create a taxonomy of policy categories and to highlight policy metrics, like how many statements were posted on, who is, IANA, etc. And a mock-up of the website has been provided. I do believe this was presented in an earlier session earlier this week. And what the Technology Task Force will also be doing, based on our discussions during calls, is to review the policy development processes at the regional internet registry. It is suggested, and I believe even ICANN board member suggested, that we need to look at how the IR handles policy development and see what could be adapted for use by at-large and ICANN. Next slide. Okay, so I could take the rest of these recommendations. So, or Judith, Glenn, you want to take it on? Okay, hearing silence and hoping I'm still connected. Let me just continue on recommendation 29. Recommendation 29 talks about implementing an automated system for tracking topics of interest. So what we're looking at is to use the Confluent Wiki keywords for syndicating RELO topics across all the RELO Wiki pages. Glenn, I see your hand raised. Go ahead.
Dev, I'm aware of our position on this, but have you been interfacing with the Capacity Building Working Group on how different their interpretation of this action item is?
Thank you, Glenn. This is Dave. Are you referring to Recommendation 26, the policy management process, or Recommendation 29?
No, it's 29, the one we're on right now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is Dave. I don't think I have any recollection of what is happening on the capacity building working group side of things. With regards to this, our social media working group, we did have a preliminary discussion on this issue. And one of the things we were looking at is what could be easily shared via social media. So, but I don't really have any input on the capacity building working group side of things. Murray, I see your hand raised. Do you have a question on this slide?
Yes, or more of a comment. Murray McCritcher for the record. I have been using the Confluence area for trying to track topics of interest to me, and there are some tools there that seem to work reasonably well. So I don't know. I realize that not everybody is on the Confluence wiki, and I don't know whether there's policy issues with that, but wanted to. You know, it has some value for me, so that's where I'm using it at the moment. Thanks.
Thanks, Murray. Another actually good point, perhaps you didn't highlight sufficiently enough. Indeed, persons can subscribe to particular wiki areas to see if there are updates in the area. So if they're interested in the activity of a particular working group or working groups, they could just track the changes. And so I think perhaps that's probably need to be better highlighted. So thanks for that suggestion. What the technology task force can do is probably highlight that aspect for regular at-large users as to how they can track changes to wiki sections. Going back to the slide here, what we're also looking at is looking at wiki add-ons such as Confluence questions. There's a link for persons to go and look at that add-on. And possibly group chat applications that could allow for crowdsourcing of topic discussion. We haven't begun evaluation of that, so that's something that's in our to-do list. Next slide.
I'd like to, since you may not have video, I'd like to welcome Olivier and Varan to the room. They've joined us as well.
Thank you, and welcome indeed. Okay, just to go quickly through the rest of the recommendation.
Actually, just to say, it's Olivier speaking, I've actually been following since I think about 5 minutes after the start of the call on my portable iPad device walking around, but yeah, thanks.
Yes, thanks, Olivier. I did see you in the video, we connected from the beginning. Thank you. This is Dave Anand again. So just going back to the recommendation 31, regarding to the research of simple tools to facilitate participation in public comment, we have identified a tool called Liquid Feedback, and we'll be planning to review that in a future technology task force session. Next slide. And recommendation 39, ICANN should encourage open data best practices. And indeed, and I think that it actually is a very useful recommendation. A lot of information produced by ICANN is already public, but it's not really stored in an organized way for that information to be collated and reused. You know, you have on static web pages, you have in wikis, possibly in Skype chats and so forth. So we are going to be reviewing how best to implement open data standards. There's some links there that I've put there. And I think this is also an example of how open data could have worked. Right now, we are trying to create like a stakeholder engagement map where we are mapping what in a particular country, whether a country has ELS structures, whether they are in the GAC, whether they are in the CCTLD, the members of the CCNSO. And right now, the team that's currently working on it, Maureen, Ron Sherwood, and myself, we have to pull the information manually from the various communities' web pages. So, you know, if such data was available in an open format, we could, you know, mix and match and come up with different comparisons. So, next slide. Okay, so section three. So that completes the review of the Atlas 2 section. Does anybody have any comments or questions regarding the Atlas Food?
Dev, Glenn, we have a question here from Glenn McKnight.
Okay, go back to the last slide. This is the one of the two major areas that came out in recommendation. That's a big, big task. So as you can see, I've done a little bit of work on the open data issue in terms of just scratching the surface in terms of resources, but it's going to be a long haul providing this information as well as our knowledge or slash information system. So I'm not sure how we're going to tackle this one, Dev, but it is it's something, it's like an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. So we need to really analyze this one in depth. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. I see Camilla, you have a question?
All right.
Camilla, you may be muted. Okay, Camilla, this is Devanan again. We're still not hearing you, so you may be muted. So. If you're able, if you're unable to,
yeah.
Okay, but still not hearing you, Danella.
Sorry,
so can you pop it, type it in the chat?
Yeah, and then Danella, if you want us, we can contact you on a Digo, on the phone.
This is Sarah speaking. I'm checking with the Digo.
Okay. Okay, well, while Ganella is going to be typing questions, perhaps in the interest of time, Ganella, do indeed type your question about this. We can come back to this section. Perhaps you could look at the section number 3, which deals with the web conferencing tools. So next slide. Okay, and so, thanks. Next slide. So, the Technology Task Force has been reviewing a lot of web conferencing tools other than Adobe Connect. I believe about a year and a half, well, coming close now to 2 years, I guess, there was a discussion within ICANN as to Adobe Connect being replaced. And I think if the Technology Task Force are like, well, if it's going to be replaced, we need to make sure that it's a system that... That meets our needs. So with that, we started over time doing over a dozen web conferencing tools other than Adobe Connect. And in doing that, we had to create special purpose calls with technology task force members testing each of the solutions. We're looking at issues such as the feature set, usability, the cost, whether it's available, works on Windows, Mac, or Linux. Does it support mobile applications and so forth. So we produced a comparison table, and it's a very large table. And I put on the slide there some of the solutions that we tested. And on that wiki page, you can find links to more detailed summaries of what was worked or what didn't work. So the TTF is going to be looking at to come up with recommendations for possible use by at-large structures. So I see actually now another hand here.
Yes, David.
Mari, is it something you want to ask on this slide?
Yeah, so Mari, if you want to take the floor while we wait, or is Gunella, are you ready to talk yet, or did you resolve your microphone issues? If not, we can add you and we can put you on the phone, so just let us know.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
Gunella. You can.
Fantastic. Okay. And thank you, Ariel, for unmuting me from the Digo system. Yes, in regard to a number of the Atlas recommendations, I'm wondering if there is a process for the TTF to be preemptive when it comes to various tools that ICANN is looking at introducing, and that might already be happening, so that we are testing those tools right at the beginning of that selection process for ICANN. And for example, if we talk about accessibility, and there are particular tools that ICANN are looking at across the board, then the TTF has a chance to test them early in the piece rather than after they've been introduced. So I'm just wondering about that process and how we can streamline it. Thanks.
Thanks, Vanilla. This is Dave. So to answer that question, and indeed, it would be desirable if we can have a session with the various persons in ICANN that are looking at these type of these decisions. And I think that we have been having dialogue with the ICANN IT staff, for example, looking at, say, the Lakwala machine list translation on how to solve that. Regarding Adobe Connect testing of plugins, we've been talking to quite a few members of and IT staff in that. So I would say yes, but obviously the decisions, this is the decision by ICANN. I mean, they something of that nature. They obviously have a lot more dedicated personnel and so forth to do that evaluation. And I think what we would like to be in a position to is that they'll be in a position for them to ask us and to get feedback from us rather than just suddenly implementing it and then we have to then comment afterwards. We'll probably still reserve the right to do so because we want to improve the system. An example of this was when there was internal testing by ICANN for ICID meetings, which was a web conferencing tool. And what we did was that we switched to ICID meetings ourselves and used it for several of our calls and then provided feedback, and bug reports and so forth, which they did accept and try to improve the product. So I would say, Vanilla, it has been happening. Okay. Okay, I'm seeing some hands.
Thank you.
So let's see. Murray?
Yes, thanks, Dave. Murray Mukherjee, for the record. Just an observation on web conferencing tools. Throughout this ICANN meetings, I've been running a remote hub, and ICANN's been very effectively using the Skype channel to integrate with four remote hubs. It's kind of a somewhat universal technology that people seem to be able to grab quite well. And my observation was that in some cases the channel video and audio sync was superior to that of Adobe Connect. Was about Adobe Connect in one window and Skype in another window. So it's as far as things happening, I just want to let everyone know that that was quite good. And perhaps the ICANN tech guys are using Skype for particular reasons. So it would be interesting to maybe get some feedback from them at some point. Thank you.
Thanks, Murray. This is Dave. Well, indeed, Skype has been very popular since with the multi-platform instant messaging and then video, well, chat, and now video. And it's now been much more improving on the mobile platform. I've noticed that I would say there's some disadvantages in how chat processes work, and that it's a very ad hoc process to run a chat session with Skype. And there are actually group chat applications such as Slack, for example, or HipChat and so forth, which offer better administrative way of structuring conversations. What's more important is because it's also allowing for better message search. You can search across multiple channels as opposed to Skype, which you can't do that, which is one disadvantage. So, but thanks for that input. Judith, you had a comment? Or
yes. This is Judith Hellestein. This is Judith Hellestein for the record. I also want to welcome Adrian and Evan to the task force room. So they're here in person. So since you may not have video to see it, they are here. I also wanted to add on the tools We're also always looking at some new tools. There's a new tool that people are using now called Zoom, and we're always trying to keep in mind some tools that may be able to have lower bandwidth requirements than Adobe Connect and may not have all the features, but can help out others participate and engage. So we're always on the lookout to investigate other tools that may not have all the features we need, but have some critical features and might work well for some others in the on a task force. So that's sort of what I would...
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Judith. This is Dave again. So let me just continue this slide because we have one more item on our agenda. So the technology task force will be looking at, and I think we could look at other web conferencing solutions and look to come up with a proper recommendation for possible use by at-large structures. So next slide. Oh, I have control. Oh, okay, great. Sorry. Thank you. So just to go back to Adobe Connect, as Judith mentioned, there's going to be possibly some changes in future versions of Adobe Connect. What the technology task force has done is developed a one-pager about Adobe Connect to help ELSAs and apps to help use Adobe Connect effectively, and for example, connecting your microphone and so forth. And also, the technology task force will be looking to evaluate two Adobe Connect plugins that has been identified. There's a link there that shows the plugins that we've tested, and there's two plugins. One is an engagement index, which can be of interest for metrics, and there's a social media Adobe Connect plugin that will allow the use of at least on Twitter, as I understand it, within Adobe Connect. Okay, so with that, I think we can now turn over to section Judith or Glenn.
Thank you, Dev. Let's move on to section four. It's really important to get your feedback on what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. So we can move to the next slide, please. So this was one of the ideas as a technical task force is we produced a travel tip. We distributed the digital copy to everyone, and we had printed copies on the first day on Sunday for distribution in the kits. And it was quite simple. Judith did a great job, and in this first issue was issues such as mobile, what carriers are available, and public transit. So this is a different newsletter. This was focused on technical survival tips for people who are with ALAC. So this any critical feedback is welcome, please. Again, we'll do the same sort of idea for Buenos Aires. All of this material is saved. It's all the rough material, much longer than this one, is on the wiki. Next slide.
Open discussion.
Okay. Now, this is an opportunity. I'd like to start this with, I'm going to pull some people out directly. Gordon has been a phenomenal force with us. He hasn't attended our sessions in person, but he's been really good as a Linux guru, evaluating our conference tools and also reviewing stuff by remote. And I know he's got a lot of opinions. So if you can indulge me, if Gordon is there, Gordon, would you mind kick off this discussion on your opinions on what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what are some of the recommendations we should be going forward? Over to you, Gordon.
Had to do it, didn't you, Glenn? Gordon Chilcott, for the record. I did have some notes, and some of them got kicked off during the discussion because they seemed to have been rather covered. Again, because
Gordon, could you speak up, please? Is Judith, for the record?
Yep, will do. Is that better? Is that better?
Yes, it is.
Good stuff. Because it's February and I've been burned myself, one of the items I'm going to repeat that I have mentioned before is some of the tools that we have looked at for some smaller jobs, reading you need to take some care in selecting them. There was an unfortunate situation with one tool that we really looked at and was a very, very good one that disappeared from public view for a number of reasons. Some due diligence really needs to be done for some of the tools that we elect to look at. It happened to me and a lot of rather large organizations with another tool, and that's just recent. That's the reason why I bring this up. There are a number of other things that we should probably be doing. I find it difficult myself to bring them to the fore in my own mind. I think because I'm so buried in the swamp of the things that we've done. I've been in the Technology Task Force about since its inception, so I am kind of buried in the morass of some of the things that we've already dealt with. And that's about as far as I'm going to go today. We'll see what happens when this next year's working session starts. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Gordon. Any written material for a dialogue would be appreciated into our discussion thread on the wiki. I want to turn to Murray. Murray's doing one of the hubs. This is, I believe, the second time he's doing it. So, Murray, can you talk about the hub and activities, experiences, and share with us some of your thoughts?
Yes. Thank you, Glenn. It's Murray speaking. I haven't really written all these down, and I put a few things into the chat. I'm just very impressed with the assistance that we're getting from Technical. This is the second remote hub I've done, so you learn a bit more every time you do another one. There were a couple of hiccups happening, but it's very well organized because we're stitching Skype together with Adobe Connect. But my positive has been a very positive experience from my perspective. I know in Africa, due to limited bandwidth, sometimes there are issues. But Corey and staff probably will have a debrief from their perspective on technical things. And I was going to suggest that we bring that into the Technology Task Force agenda and perhaps invite the staff members who are on top of the technology to join us for that. So I'm happy to assist with that. After everybody has a breather after Singapore, I think it would be good to add that. So just generally, very positive experience, worked well for me. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Marie. I'm not going to let you off on the hook on this. You and Corey are going to get scheduled to do a discussion on your experiences and best practices. If not, the next call, perhaps the next one. So Dev, Judith, and I will work with you guys on the schedule, if that's okay with you. Okay.
That's great with me. Hold my feet fire. Thanks.
Will do. Thank you. Okay, so I'd like to turn to anyone else on the Adobe or Deagle, and then I'll turn to the room. So is there anyone else that would like to join into the discussion?
This is Dave. I see Olivia Conley. So Olivia, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dave. Can you hear me? Yep. Okay. I was very impressed with your presentation about various Atlas II recommendations and the work of this working group and the progress that has been achieved since the last time that we spoke on all of these. As you may or may not know, we were going to present an update to the board about a handful of Atlas II recommendations, and one of them was number 26, which I think you... When I say that number, you probably are well aware it's the one about the policy management process.
Yep.
System. And we're just going to provide the board with a few details on how progress is coming along. But unfortunately, we ran out of time during our meeting with the board, so we didn't actually go through the slides and so on, which doesn't matter because, of course, there are future meetings with the ICANN board in future ICANN meetings. The question I had for you was whether you had any idea forecast in the sort of direction that we were taking on this. We did see ICANN IT, including Ashwin Rangan, earlier this week, but did not touch on this recommendation. We touched on other IT-related aspects, including the new website, etc. But I just wondered whether you had an idea, just a rough idea, of the kind of timeline we're looking at by which this working group would be able to provide first draft of the specifications that we would be looking in a policy management process system.
Okay, thanks, Olivier. So this is Dave speaking. So I'm thinking that, you know, what we've done, we've done a starter, and this, as you've seen in the slide, as to what we want, what we do want for a policy management process system. Because I do know that it apparently seems to be a misunderstanding as to what we're trying to do. So I think that's the first step in trying to understand what we want the system to really do. I am thinking what could happen is that, if you want to get the other AACs and SOs on board and for them to endorse the concept, perhaps these concepts could be shared with the AACs and SOs. And I guess what we can do, we can try to present a report or slides or whatever, and the Atlas II implementation group could review that, make sure it's okay, and then submit it to the various AACs and SOs for their comments and get more feedback or input or support on the ideas of the policy management process system. So it's not just seen as an at-large request, but a community, all of the communities wanting this system. In terms of timeline, I'm thinking that we could probably try to shoot for the next, in time for the next ICANN face-to-face meeting. By that face-to-face meeting, all the communities are more aware of it, and perhaps a more face-to-face discussion can happen to discuss the policy management process system further. That's my first thoughts on it.
Thank you, Dev. I want to turn. We are really running short of time. I'd like to turn to Gunalla. She's in the queue, please.
Thanks very much, Glenn. This is just a very practical comment. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can.
Hear me? Okay, thank you. It's just a very practical comment that I'm finding that the audio is quite difficult for me on this Adigo Bridge with some people sitting around the room, and I will very much look forward to, hopefully, a real-time text transcription of meetings like this, especially for remote participants, not necessarily who have a hearing impairment. So I'm just hoping that that budget proposal gets through and working groups like the Technology Task Force can benefit from it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Granello, that we appreciate that. And then, we only have like 3 more minutes before we have to leave, I wanted to wrap up and to thank everyone for coming and to thank all the remote participants for being active throughout the year. And if you have any suggestions or comments of what we want to talk to about the next coming months, we have a wiki page where we take suggestions on that. So please give us your suggestions, and we want to make this focus on what your issues that you are most concerned with about. And so I'm thinking right now, unless anyone has any burning desires for the 2 minutes left that we have, we will thank everyone for coming and thank everyone for getting up early in the morning. Dev, go ahead.
This is me. That's what to close off. Just 2 observations. One, it's great to see so many remote participants attending this call, and I'm really glad for that. Thanks to everyone for attending. Just to note another action item that Murray at least pinged us to, and that's probably for the TTF to develop a proper instruction or one page to explain how ALSs can track topics So I think that's an important item that I think the TTF can do. So that's one other additional action item. I see Olivia's hand is raised. Perhaps, Olivia, I guess you have the last word, given 1 minute to left.
Thanks, Dave. Olivier speaking. And that was just a quick response to your response regarding Recommendation 26. We'll follow up afterwards. I've been told by Heidi, who's sitting next to me, that there's a lot of things going on at ICANN. I wasn't quite sure. Internally as well. On the one hand, you know that the SO and AC chairs have launched something that is going to work on this as well. Progress hasn't been that great at the moment because, as you know, there are other very pressing issues. But I think that the way we can continue forward is the way that we've done it so far, which is to follow up on what Ashwin Rangan had asked us, which was to produce a detailed spec sheet of what our requirements were. We're not looking at needing this spec sheet tomorrow. I have a feeling it's going to be a matter of months, if not perhaps as many as 6 months, until the time when anybody is going to be able to act on any spec sheet. So we have plenty of time in front of us, and I would suggest that we go for quality in a sort of longer amount of time rather than speed and compromise on quality by trying to do it quickly. Just maybe timetabling 15 minutes or 10 minutes per call. I know that this working group meets weekly. 10 minutes per call just on quick updates and just getting people's minds to contribute would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Olivier. And as we have now reached the top of the hour, and there's another session in this room coming up, so we're going to have to close the call. And we'll see many of you on the Navajo open meeting in 1 hour. So please come back and join us for the Navajo monthly meeting then. Bye from Singapore. This is Judith.
Thanks, everyone. A very good meeting.